We've been talking about wisdom, increasing our capacity. We're going to spend a little bit of time this morning laying the foundation. While I'm finding my way through here, why don't you go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark 4, 26 through 28. We need to understand principles, how things work in the kingdom of God. If you don't understand the basic principles, it's like building a transmission. If you don't know how the transmission works, you're never going to get a transmission to work. Well, let's use corn. If you don't understand how to be a farmer, you're never going to get a crop. There's a lot of word pictures that Jesus used. Jesus taught through what? He taught through stories and parables. And he's using parables so that we can see a natural thing happen so that we can apply it within our lives. That being said, if we do not take the basic principles, if we don't understand that, yes, you need the seed to go into the ground, you're never going to get a ear of corn. Amen? Or two ears. The farmer's got this thing down to a little, there are certain things he has to do. He's got to plow the ground. He's got to till the ground. He's got to add a little bit of this. He's got to put the seed in the ground. Then he's got to go out and he's got to harvest it. There's certain principles that he has to apply to get his crop. And we're going to talk about a little bit of that because that's the way we increase our capacity. If you don't take the seed and put it in the ground, you're not going to get your two ears of corn. Amen? Those are the principles. And we need to start looking at principles of how we grow. I mean, where we've been talking the last 3 or 4 weeks, but how we grow in wisdom, how we expand our capacity in understanding who God is and what God wants to do in our lives. If we're not expanding our capacity, then we're stagnant. And if we're stagnant, we're dying. Amen? We got to continue to grow. I'm going to read this. This is what I got this morning. God's word has all the power in it to create whatever your need is. And we're going to start looking at a couple scriptures will show this to you. Let's say you have a need for healing in your life. How do you put that seed of healing within your heart to reap the what? The reward of it. Same thing for finances. Same thing for salvation. Remember last week we talked about how I got saved. I opened my heart in the back of that church that one day. I said, Lord, if this is what life is about, I opened my heart. What was that? That was a hope. Man, I hope life is better than this. That's what I was thinking. That opened the door for God's power to flow within to my life and him to reveal himself to you. It's that simple. That's the principles we need. But we need to understand how those principles work. Amen? It's like building transmission over here. You got to start with something. By the time it ends the end of the line, you got a transmission. But each part is important. Otherwise, you can't shift your car. You can't get anywhere. So we need to understand how this works within our lives and then how you can apply this in your life so that as you're growing, as you're doing life, and that's what I want to call it, as you're doing life, you can start to, here's a part. Let's put this part here. Let's do my part. And like we talked last week, there's a God side and there's a man side to every situation. You are responsible for what? The man side. That's all you're responsible for. God's responsible for his side. Amen? I'm going to start here in Mark 4. It says, and he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up in the day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then the mature grain of that head. But then the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Okay, there's a couple things that I want to kind of go over here. We're speaking of the word of God and the promises of God into our heart. Okay, this is the seed part. Let's go back to what Jesus is teaching here. In this whole chapter, he's teaching out of a parable, and he's trying to take a natural thing that they're used to seeing all the time and give us a what? A spiritual example. What he's trying to do is paint a picture of this is how the word of God will work within your life. Without this principle, without being able to see this principle, you'll never be able to increase your capacity. You'll never be able to increase in your capacity to hold the things of God. You've got to be able to see how this works. Amen? So what is he saying here? Let's just kind of break it down. He says the heart is the production center. The heart is what we would call the soil. That's your heart. Our heart is what? It's a spiritual thing, isn't it? He's not talking about the thing that thumps in your body. He's talking about the real you. He's talking about your spirit man. So what he's saying is here is the word of God's got to be implanted where? Into your spirit man. Okay? Into your heart. The heart is the production center. That's where everything is done. That's where everything is made. Amen? But how do you get the seed into the heart? Okay? Through the word. So you're reading the word. You're saying in the words, well, whatever I put my hands to will prosper. Oh, well, what pops up? You go, wow, whatever I do can prosper? Wow, what is that? That's hope. Hope and faith are integral because hope is what enlightens your spirit. You're reading through the word and all of a sudden, poop, something comes up. Go with me over to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance or the assurance of things what? Hoped for. Faith and hope work in combination. Faith brings forth what you hope. As you're reading the word, you're going, wow, can I have that? That's hope. And hope is how you plant that into your heart. You look at life and you look at the word of God. You go, man, I can live like this? I can have this in my life? This can really happen? That's hope. Hope is your goal setter. If you don't have a goal, you're never going to know where you get. Amen? Hope is a partner of faith. If you don't have goals in your life, you're never going to achieve anything, right? We always want to have something out in front. So hope is that goal setter. You must have a goal. What I'm trying to get at is you're reading the word, just putting it in day by day, just tilling the soil is what I would call it. All of a sudden, a scripture pops up to you. Or something. I use that scripture, or, you know, whatever I put my hands to will prosper, because that was one that God used in my life. He'll bless whatever I do. I mean, think about it. Whatever I do. So do something, at least you do nothing. That's what God's saying here. He'll prosper whatever I put my hand to. Wow, whatever. So just do it. That popped in my heart. That, wow, I can have that. Well, how does that work? Okay. Faith. Faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance or the substance. I like that word, substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There must be some direction for faith to flow. The hope, I can have that, gives the substance, the thing that you're believing for, a direction to flow and bring into manifestation. Is that clear to you? Can you see that? Without hope, there is no faith. And faith brings the hope into what? Reality. It's clear as day in the area of salvation. Gosh, Jesus came. Oh, I got someone that can forgive me of my sins. Oh, there's hope there. And Jesus reveals himself to you. Let's use my little example. You know, when I was sitting in the back of that church, I made that little statement. Lord, if this is what life is all about, this sucks. Okay? I don't want to be here anymore. There's got to be a better way of living. What did that do? That gave a source. It gave substance to what I was hoping for. I was hoping for, man, there's got to be more to life. I'm empty inside. And it gave God a conduit to get into my life those things. And he started to reveal himself to me. Boom, boom. And within a week or so, I was saved. Amen? So basically, it's a conduit. There must be some direction for faith to flow. Hope is the direction. Faith is the energy substance that flows to it. Now, I don't want you to get all hung up on energy substance and all that, because according to this word, it says there's two parts here that you're responsible for. You're responsible for what? Putting the seed in the soil and reaping, okay? Because then you can go to bed. How it works, how God does his thing, you could spend eternity trying to figure it out, okay? Because that's what he's saying here. Then he goes to bed night and day, gets up by the day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How he himself does not know. How it works, I don't know. All I know is faith works, okay? Now, that being said, you're all going, well, how do I get faith? I want to show you something. It's already in you. God placed it in you already. Go with me over to Romans 12:3. For through the grace, now what's grace? God's willingness to use all of his power, his ability on your behalf. Through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. What Paul is saying here is, guess what? It ain't you. It's God. But to think so as to have sound judgment. Think evenly of yourself. Man, guess what? I'm a mess. That's what I was thinking at the back of that church. Dang, I'm a mess. I'm empty. I ain't got nothing. There's got to be a better way. I was thinking what? I was judging myself. I was being honest with myself. Be honest with yourself. As God has allotted to each a measure of what? It's already in you. God's placed it in you the day he created you. So don't get all worked up on how faith works. Just know that the substance, the energy that it takes to produce the crop in your life is where? It's already in you. Don't get caught up on how it works. Now, there's principles of faith. How do you build faith? But that's just a blueprint of how you build faith. What I want you to see is the faith has already been placed into you by God. That's grace. That's God's unmerited favor. That's God's willingness to use everything. That's why it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that none shall perish but have everlasting life. He could say that because he what? He's made a way for everybody to come into the kingdom. What is it? It's that measure of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is what? The rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The faith has already been placed into you by grace. Don't get so wound up in how to do it. Your responsibility is to do what? Put the word of God into the soil. And then, like a very good farmer, count the days to the harvest. This is a big problem in the kingdom of God today. There are a lot of fields out there that are ripe for harvest that aren't being harvested because we're sitting in there waiting for God to bring it in. What does the scripture show us? What does this parable tell us? We got to what? We got to get the sickle out, get your combine out. I'd like the combine because I can fill them quicker. Amen? We've got to get the combine out. We've got to go out and get the harvest. We got to call that into our life. And how do we call things in? We speak it. We start getting in line with the Word of God. We start acting on the Word of God or speaking the Word of God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaks. And once we start speaking it, that's calling it. Abraham called those things that be not as what? Though they were. This lady's 99 years old. She ain't having no kids. But Abraham's over here, I'm the father of many nations. Woo, baby! Could you imagine the laughing stock that he was around town? Here comes Abraham again. Every time they said his name, they were saying, father of many nations. Could you imagine what was going on in their head? And that's going to happen in your life. People are going to go, you can't have that. That's crazy. You hyper-faith people, you're nuts. That's what they're going to say. All you're responsible is to stay steady in your life. Implant the word of God. How it grows is what? God's grace. God's already doing it in you. And then you start speaking it into your life. Then you'll start to enter in to the things of God. You'll start to walk in the power of God. This is exactly how Jesus did it.
And think about this. Jesus was just as limited as you were. He did not start his ministry until when? He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He couldn't do it. And what did he say as he dealt with his apostles? I only speak those things that I hear the Father speak. He only speaks the word. If he had any advantage over us, the cross was a waste of time. Because it wouldn't have been a just sacrifice. The enemy would have been up there saying, "That foul, it's all over." He had to operate exactly this way. If that being said, why aren't we seeing miracles? Why aren't we seeing things being done? Why aren't we seeing this manifest in our life? Because we're not applying the principles of God. It's all on the man's side. God's already done his side. It's us cooperating with what? The Spirit of God, the Word of God, implanting the Word of God into our life. Are you hearing me? The God side and the man side. The God side and the man side. What side are you responsible for? The man side. That's all you're responsible for. And don't get hung up on the God side. Just keep your eyes open for the harvest. And what I mean by harvest, I mean the manifestation of whatever you're believing for. Once you see it, grab it. Because substance, can you touch substance? This is substance. It manifests. Once you see it, grab it. You're not calling those things anymore. You're not saying they are. You're grabbing them. That's what you're responsible for. Now, that being said, well, I think we'll wrap it right there because we're going to get into another. Actually, why don't you go with me over to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. I want to give you this scripture, and I want you guys to spend the week reading this scripture from verse 9 down. You can read right to the end of the chapter there. Start putting the word into you because we're going to open this can of worms up here. Because revelation can only happen in your spirit. Amen? That's how God reveals things to us. As we open this scripture, for to us God revealed them through what? The Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of men except the spirit of man? Your spirit, here we go again. We're going to start down this little road. Our spirit is the only one that knows what's going on in your little life. Your spirit. I don't know what's going on in your little life, but man, when the lights go down, your spirit, man, is being really honest with yourself. That's what that little scripture is saying. Only the spirit of a man knows the thoughts of a man, or what's really in your heart. Okay? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except for who? The Holy Spirit. He has been sent here to do what? To reveal them to you. So spirit to spirit is how God talks. This is key. And we're going to start breaking this down, this little script. We're going to start chewing a little bit of this because your livelihood, your existence depends on you understanding how the Spirit of God communicates with your spirit and then brings into what? The substance of things into your life. If you're not communicating spirit to spirit, allowing God to reveal things to you, you are going through life like a pinball. The little things are whipping you all around and life is dictating to you. If you want to start dictating to life and you want to start walking, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't allow circumstances to dictate to him. He dictated to the circumstances. Everyone that came to him, including the lady that touched him with a cloak. Yeah, she came up. She was at a little Super Bowl. But he dictated to the situation, didn't he? Said, your faith made you whole. He directed it right back. What did she do? She said in her heart or in her spirit, all I got to do is touch this. And Jesus what? Felt the power of God go out of him. He didn't heal her. The power was received by what? That was that conduit is what I'm trying to tell you. In her mind, she goes, all I got to do is touch. That was her hope. Her hope, oh, Then she acted on it. That became the substance. That became how it got to her. She touched. She what received her healing. And Jesus turned around and said, I healed you. No, he didn't. Your faith made you whole. Your faith will make you whole in every area of your life. Your faith will make you whole physically. Your faith will make you whole financially. Your faith will make you whole in your head, in your mind, your soul, and your emotions. It's your faith. And faith is what? Faith is just a substance. Faith is God's grace in your life. All you got to do is learn how to what? Put the word in, and then, like the little lady, touch the robe, baby. And she was made whole. That's what you're responsible for. Don't get all caught up. But we do need to learn how to train our spirits. I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. This is what Paul said. I'm speaking some things as us faith people don't want to hear. I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. What's the key thought here? You have to do something. If you want to reap the things of God, you're going to have to do the principles of God. You can't get the transmission at the end of the line or your 2 ears of corn without first putting the seed into your life. And then what? Going out and calling it in or reaping it in. You've got some responsibility. But we all want to sit around at church going, oh God, I need all my needs met by your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on in. And we think little birdies are going to show up with $100 bills in their beak. Oh, all my needs are met. Thank you, Lord. It don't work that way. You got to put your hand to something. So he can what? He can prosper it. He can bless it. Same thing. Or we think, we get 150 prayers off the heaven and then it's going to drop. No, the prayer of a faithful man will be answered. I mean, come on. All we got to do is pray it once and expect it. We're praying in faith. It's prayed once. And when? Then we just got to sit back with our combine already geared up. We're going to take that field. God's not going to drop it on us because of what we do. Praying off 1,000 prayers is nothing more than works. You're better off going back to the Old Testament. Get a bull, get a goat, whatever you're going to go out and slaughter it, whatever you want to do. Because that's works. We got to learn to work within the dispensation we're living in. We're living in the new covenant. We live by faith. And we need to apply the principles of faith. If we want to see the what? Results of faith. If we want to walk in our promised land, we better be using the weapons that get us into the promised land. Amen? All right, glory to God. You guys work on this scripture this week. We'll break it down next week because it's very important that we see that how your spirit man is in communion with the Holy Spirit. We spent some time this week talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. That's all great. I was telling Dale before the service, it's all great to speak in tongues, but that's not the reason we speak in tongues. We speak in tongues because of what? It empowers us. It builds us up. It's not for everybody around us. It's for us. It's for us to energize the Spirit of God who's in us. Your spirit's in communication with His Spirit. It's divine. It's a divine way to activate. It says in the Word, it says that it builds us up. It builds power into our life. That's why He wants us doing it. Power for what? To be a witness. To bless the guy next door. To hear God and do His works here upon the earth. That's what Jesus did. He was in prayer. He was in the Spirit. He was talking. And then He went out and did what? What He heard the Father do. Let's do it. Let's do our work. And the fame of Him went out. And it will go out. All we're responsible for is doing what we have in front of us. Amen? I'm not worried about everything else outside. It's the same thing within my business. I don't worry about what Degler's doing or McCool's is doing or Carpetland's doing. All I got to really do is focus on what green tone flooring is supposed to be doing, and what? It will prosper. Focus on you. Focus on your areas of life. Don't worry about the rest of the body of the Christ. Don't worry about what's going on over in Jerusalem or on the other side of the world. Let's win Greentown, okay? All right? Let's win Greentown. Let's win our neighbor. Let's win the lady that's at the Walmart cashing us out. You know, let's win our waiter. Be a witness to them. That's who you run across every day. That's what he wants to do. Jesus didn't go about looking for things to do. What did they came to him? All he was, hey, let's go to the other side. And then the demonic came. You do what you got to do and be a witness and be empowered, and God will work through you. Amen? Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you have ministered your word into our hearts, Father. And Father, just like these songs we sung this morning, Father, Lord, our hearts are open to you. Mold us, make us into the image of God so that we can be a blessing, that we can touch this world around us, Father. Lord, we can heal the sick. We can bind up the brokenhearted. We can put salve on those who are wounded, Father. Lord, use us to minister your love to this community. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now go do the works of Jesus.